Today, the markets react to the art of the deal going full Picasso. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one of those posts covering finance and property news. This is our weekly market update. We start in the US, across to Europe and Asia, and end in Australia, covering crypto and commodities along the way. US equities pulled back this week after a torrid rally as investors turn their attention to tax and spending legislation poised to swell the US government's $36 trillion debt. The US House of Representatives, controlled by Trump's Republican Party, on Thursday narrowly passed a tax and spending bill that would enact much of his agenda while adding an estimated $3.8 trillion to the debt over the next decade. The bill is heading to the US Senate for its review. Long bond prices fell this week, and as yields move in the opposite direction, the 30-year yield topped 5%, hitting its highest level since late 2023, while the 10-year was a 4.507. This was part of a wave of selling from the bond vigilantes, which is increasingly looking like market dysfunction at the long end of the curve. See my earlier post on this. Trump's fiscal plans consumed investor attention for much of the week, especially after Moody's downgraded the US sovereign credit rating due to concerns about the nation's growing debt pile. Long-dated government bond yields have been rising globally amid the sell-off, although they did pull back a little at the end of the week. In a note, Bank of America's Michael Harnett said the 10-year rolling return from US Treasuries is negative, in the same humiliating place stock returns were in February 2009. Investors are fearing that projections for the US debt mountain could increase further when a sweeping tax and spending bill goes through the Senate, with the risk that bond yields stay higher for longer. Bond sell-offs were widespread, but investors' unease was most visible in markets with weaker fiscal foundations. Sell America is back in vogue, Barclays strategist said in the note, as US equities, treasuries and the dollar all came under simultaneous pressure. Long bonds in many other countries, including Japan's 30-year bonds, shot higher. Both the US Treasury and equity markets are vulnerable, having been inflated by Japanese flows of funds, as has the dollar, says Societe Generale strategist Albert Edwards. And if sharply higher Japanese government bond yields entice Japanese investors to return home, the unwinding of the carry trade could cause a loud sucking sound. The problems of governments borrowing against future prosperity to patch over today's problems have been building for decades. It's been happening from Washington and Tokyo to Beijing and Melbourne, where the Victorian government's budget this week revealed debt has climbed so high that 10% of government revenue will be required just to pay the state's interest bills in 4 years' time. Fixing these issues requires hard, unpopular choices. The possibility that we are about to see the bond market force the hand of politicians and investors can't be discounted. To add insult to injury, all three US benchmarks closed lower in New York on Friday after President Donald Trump reignited market volatility with a series of tweets issuing new tariff threats on his social media platform early in the day against both the European Union and Apple. Shares in Apple slumped 3%. The MSCI Global Index fell 1.42% across the week, while the Stoxx 600 in Europe fell 0.93% on Friday, while the German DAX was down 1.54% and the German 30-year bond was above 3.1%. The president posted in his Truth Social platform that tariffs of at least 25% will be put in place for iPhones not made in the US. Apple's shares slipped to 195.27. The move sent the S&P 500 lower, but then in a separate Truth Social post, President Trump criticized the European Union, accusing it of engaging in unfair trade practices that have contributed to a significant trade deficit with the US, highlighting issues such as trade barriers, VAT taxes, and corporate penalties. Trump expressed frustrations over stalled negotiations with the EU and recommended a 50% tariff on the bloc starting June 1st. Some sagely nodded, saying, ah, this was clever Trump arting the deal before the upcoming talks. And shares briefly paired some losses through the session after US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent said that the US expects to reach trade deals with several countries, none of which he identified, in the coming weeks. However, shares struggled late after Trump reiterated to reporters in the Oval Office his disappointment with both the EU and Apple. Bessent indicated that the 90-day pause in talks on April 2nd was based on good faith negotiations, and he also noted that President Trump views the EU's proposals as not as favourable as those from other nations. The proposed 50% tariff on the EU, according to Bessent, is a response to the pace of the EU's actions in the trade talks. The Treasury Secretary expressed hope that President Trump's tariffs threat would light a fire under the EU to speed up negotiations, and he also commented on the desire to have tech giant Apple help secure the chip supply chain. Now, next week, Nvidia will be the last of the magnificent seven mega cap stocks to report results for this period. Their stocks have been mixed in 2025 after leading the market higher as a group in the last 2 years. Nvidia shares were down 2% this year after soaring over 1,000% from late 2022 through to the end of 2024 as its AI chip business spurred massive increase in revenue and profit. Oracle will spend about $40 billion on Nvidia's higher performance chips to power OpenAI's new US data center, according to the Financial Times. And OpenAI, Oracle, and Nvidia are also involved in a Stargate project in the Middle East, where a new massive AI data center will be constructed in the United Arab Emirates, likely using over 100,000 Nvidia chips. The first phase of the UAE data center will come online in 2026. The benchmark S&P 500 index ended on Friday down 0.67% and is down 5.6% from its February record high. The Dow ended down 0.61% and the Nasdaq fell 1%. UBS raised its target on the S&P 500 from 5,800 to 6,000 and initiated a June 2026 target of 6,400. The move follows better first quarter earnings results and expectations of higher GDP growth in the second half of 2025, they said. The new target represents a 2.7% upside through to the year of the end and 9.6% upside through the middle of next year. Stocks, though, are far from cheap. The strategists note the S&P 500 price-to-earnings ratio now stands above 21 times, surpassing its five-year median, signalling potential stretched valuations. US markets, by the way, will be closed on Monday for the Memorial Day holiday. The volatility index was up 10.06% on Friday to 22.29. The US dollar index futures was down 0.87% to 99.10, while the euro US dollar was up 0.76% to 1.136, and the US dollar Japanese yen fell 1.03% to 142.57. Gold futures for June delivery was up 2% on Friday to 3,357 a troy ounce, and silver was up 1.17%, suggesting perhaps that safe havens are back in vogue. Elsewhere in commodities, crude oil for delivery in July rose 0.85% to hit $61.76 a barrel, while the July Brent oil contract rose 0.82% to trade at $65.01. The oil market has been under pressure from two things as we await the impact of tariffs on oil demand and the OPEC Plus decision with regard to increased supply again over the summer. Several Fed speakers made appearances this week offering a range of views on future monetary policy, but their collective angst about tariff uncertainty reaffirmed expectations on Wall Street that the door is likely closed on any rate cuts this year. A number of Fed speakers took to the airwaves this week. The message is tariffs are likely to create risks on both sides of the Fed's mandate. The right response is to wait, Morgan Stanley analyst wrote, summing up the consensus ahead of the June FOMC meeting. Morgan Stanley's base case, by the way, are no rate cuts at all in 2025, with the Fed keeping its easing bias, but unwilling to look through tariff-induced inflation. The right answer is to wait for clarity, the analyst wrote, forecasting the Fed will stay on hold until March 2026. European shares closed sharply low on Friday after the Trump rampage on tariffs. The pan-European stocks 600 closed 0.9% lower and marked a weekly decline. That's the first in 6 weeks. The index logged its biggest one-day fall since April the 9th. Germany's DAX fell 1.5% after coming within spitting distance of a record high earlier in the day, when data had shown that the country's economy grew significantly more in the first quarter than previously estimated, expanding by 0.4% compared with the previous quarter, ahead of the preliminary reading of 0.2%. The CAC 40 in France dropped 1.65%, and declines on London's FTSE were contained as the country clinched a trade deal with the US earlier, of course, and with the base tariff of 10%. And the latest GDP growth rate was higher than expected this week. Additionally, British retail sales jumped in April by a much stronger than expected 1.2% month on month after a downwardly revised 0.1% increase in March. Traders bet on more interest rate cuts from the Eurozone central bank, expecting the deposit rate to reach 1.6% by December from 1.72% before Trump's comments. But the long-term bond yields might put a hole in that theory. British investment platform AJ Bell jumped 8.4% after it posted a 12% year-on-year rise in half-yearly profit before tax, benefiting from increased client activity. Shares of European financial institutions and the consumer cyclical sector both sell off, though, after Trump's comments. Among the big fallers were Deutsche Bank and Swatch Group. Bank of America remains negative on European equities, warning of near-term risk, while valuations have become less compelling following a recent rally. European equities have surged 18% since the middle of April, narrowing the gap with historical highs. But this rally, quote, leaves European equities priced for stronger global growth ahead, a scenario Bank of America does not believe will materialize. Most Asian stocks rose on Friday, with Japanese shares rising past strong inflation data as a drop in Treasury yields offered markets a little bit of relief, although concerns over US fiscal health does remain in play. Japan's Nikkei 225 and TOPIX indices rose 0.8% each on Friday, even as consumer price index inflation data read stronger than expected for April. Core CPI inflation surged to an over two-year high as a recent hike in local wages helped boost private spending. The reading boosted the yen and the Japanese bond yields, given that stronger inflation gives the Bank of Japan more headroom to raise interest rates. But the strong CPI data also reflected improving Japanese consumer spending, which could help buoy economic growth in the coming months. Hot and expected Japanese consumer inflation increases the odds of a Bank of Japan rate hike in July, according to ING analysts, especially as core inflation hit a two-year high. ING said the Bank of Japan was likely to raise rates by 25 basis points in July, before an extended pause due to high uncertainty over US trade tariffs and the Japanese economy. The Bank of Japan has said during its early May meeting that it now expects softer Japanese economic growth and inflation due to uncertainty over increased US trade tariffs. The Nikkei volatility, which measures the implied volatility of the Nikkei 225 options, was up 7.95% to 25.40. Chinese markets mostly outperformed their regional peers this week, benefiting from persistent cheer over US tariff de-escalation, as well as signs of more stimulus support from Beijing. The Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices rose slightly on Friday, trading up 0.9% and 0.5% for the week, respectively. Hong Kong's Hang Seng rose 0.5% on Friday and was up 1.1% for the week, despite a swathe of middling earnings from major Chinese internet firms. But BYD's Hong Kong shares soared to a record high on Friday, extending a recent winning spree after a report said the Chinese electric vehicle giant outsold rival Tesla for the first time in Europe. Chinese markets have actually benefited from persistent optimism over a US trade war de-escalation, even as Beijing railed against Washington's chip restrictions. A cut to the loan prime rate earlier in the week also spurred hopes for more stimulus from Beijing again. Other Asian markets were less upbeat for the week, with South Korea's KOSPI up just 0.1% on Friday, but down 1.6% over the week, chiefly hitting major tech shares. India's Nifty 50 was lower across the week, though it was up on Friday. The Australian share market gained for a second week as a retreat in US Treasury yields and growing expectations of aggressive interest rate cuts from the Reserve Bank of Australia boosted sentiment. The central bank lowered the cash rate on Tuesday to 3.85% from 4.1% and adopted a surprisingly relaxed tone on inflation. Bond traders have since bolstered bets on another rate cut in July, despite the long bond kerfuffle. The Aussie 10-year was at 4.385, while the 30-year was at 5.16, following the trends globally. The ASX 200 rose 0.2% to 8,360.9 on Friday. Over the week, the index was up 0.2%. Six of 11 sectors were in the green on Friday, with technology stocks leading the gains. For local investors, the focus now returns to the interest rate outlook over the next couple of weeks, and of course the April Consumer Price Index, which is tipped to show a decline in annual inflation to 2.3% from 2.4%. The share market's rate-sensitive technology, financial and real estate sectors all rose. Property giant Goodman Group jumped 2.2% to $30.68. Among the banks, Commonwealth Bank rose 0.6% to $173.84, while in technology, WiseTech added 1.3% to $100.05, and NextDC was 1.1% up to $13.11. Miners helped moderate the advance, though, as iron ore prices dropped below $99 a ton in Singapore. BHP slid to $38.35, while Fortescue fell 2.4% to $15.51 after announcing that its energy chief, Mark Hutchison, was stepping down. Uranium stocks surged, though, following a report that US President Donald Trump will sign the executive order aimed to jumpstart the nuclear energy industry. Paladin Energy leapt 6.7% to $5.77. Boss Resources rose 12.11% to $3.98. And Deep Yellow rose 8.3% to $1.25. In corporate news, Nufarm retreated 6.1% to $2.47 after Morgan Stanley analysts said the company's recent trading update challenged their confidence in the stock. Origin Energy fell 1.1% to $11.05 after forecasting its second half earnings from Australia Pacific LNG, in which it owns a minority stake, would be $55 million less than expected. But in truth, the Australian share market looks overvalued. Just 2 years ago, the ASX 200 was trading on a 12-month forward price-earnings ratio of 14.6 times, smack in line with its long-term averages. Since then, though, the outlook for corporate profits has deteriorated, dividends have fallen, and bond yields have surged, while the cash rate is unchanged. And yet, the benchmark index is now trading on an eye-watering PE of 18.3 times and sits just 3% away from its February record. Some now suggest this boom was driven largely by a huge wave of buying by the superannuation funds, which are chasing a shrinking pool of stocks. But super funds are close to reaching their self-imposed limits on investing in the local stock market this year, potentially removing the largest buyer of Australian shares. And without the relentless love money from super funds, the exchange's soft fundamentals will be perhaps laid bare. It seems that investors have been increasingly turning to domestic-facing companies that are well-placed to benefit from expectations of an aggressive easing cycle from the Reserve Bank. Morgan Stanley told clients that it expects housing-linked stocks to be among the largest beneficiaries, naming Wesfarmers, Scentre Group, Eagers Automotive and Car Group as its top picks. Still, the broker has maintained its defensive positioning through stocks like Coles, Telstra, AGL Energy and Transurban. The broker left its 12-month price target on the ASX 200 unchanged at 8,500 points, implying around a 1.7% upside from current levels. The Aussie was at 64.96 cents against a weaker US dollar and at 47.98 against a stronger UK pound. Finally, in crypto, with its recent all-time high, almost 112,000 US, Bitcoin has sent the market into a state of euphoria. The top cryptocurrency, however, is now displaying signs of exhaustion at the same rate that it rose, with a possible reversal emerging on the daily charts. Already the price has fallen to around 108,000 US and the volume is beginning to decrease. Some say Bitcoin might return to the 102,000 level if it loses the 107,000 to 108,000 level of support. And they say the bearish momentum could even get stronger. On June 1st, 2025, a new 50% tariff on goods imported from the EU is scheduled to go into effect. The action aims to address alleged trade imbalances and may spark a round of economic reprisals from EU countries. This increases the level of uncertainty of global risk assets, such as cryptocurrencies, and raises the possibility of capital flight from unstable positions. A tariff war, however, might harm liquidity and halt institutional appetite in this situation. Bitcoin may not be safe from geopolitical pressures if capital moves into safer asset classes or if conventional markets falter. In fact, it might be particularly susceptible to a steep correction given the speculative nature of its current rally. Anyway, standing back, we are in Picasso land where things look odd, misshapen, and unfamiliar. The revamping of the global trade order again calls much into question, while the hike in long bonds and the drift away from US exceptionalism is casting a long shadow. Markets remain priced to perfection in a highly imperfect world. Something has to give. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.